Tonight is the 21st of March, 2018, Wednesday evening, and you've tuned in to the Pineville House Fellowship, and we are planning a get-together on May the 19th here in Pineville. You're welcome to join us in the mountains, in the Ozarks of Pineville, Missouri. In the hills of Pineville, Missouri. The Coloridians, they don't like it when you call these mountains, but they're sure pretty. We're going to be having a talk show on Monday night, and Edward Henry has asked to talk about the topic, are pastors biblical? What does the Bible have to say about pastors or something to that effect? And I hope that it doesn't spur any kind of conflict. A lot of times people get hung up on semantics. The term pastor, if you look it up in the dictionary, it has to do with, it comes from being out in the pasture shepherding a flock. And so a pastor should be the shepherd of a flock. And you know, a lot of pastors, that's what they are. They're herding their sheep, you know. And anyway, we're going to talk about it. We'll probably get into a little bit of the ecclesiology of the church. The Bible talks about some organization in a church, deacons and elders and so on, bishops. And if you want to do an interesting study, look up the word pastor, do a word study on the word pastor in the Bible. And so, anyway, that's on the agenda coming up, and that should be proved to be interesting. I want to apologize, even though it's not my fault. I noticed I lost a lot of the devotional, early morning devotional risers, because there was a couple mornings when sermon audio was having some problems, glitches, and people kind of got tired of going on there and getting the same error message that it was, the message was no longer on there when it, I had already put it on there, but sermon audio was having a glitch getting it on there. So, I apologize. I noticed I lost about 50 listeners in the day per morning, through no fault of my own. So if you have any complaints or anything, you know, take it up with God, because He's sovereign over all of it. Okay. I know it's frustrating when you go to a site and you click on it and you're wanting to hear something and it's nothing's there. I know that is frustrating. I'm the same way. We live in an instant potatoes society. Drive through burgers and fries and homemade pies, you know. And that's not the way it was back then, but it's the way it is now. So, anyway, I've been handed a slip of paper, the music committee. That would be Mark and Rosette. They're the music committee. Mark usually picks a song out of the old school hymnal almost every time. And Rosette almost invariably picks one out of the Psalter. So guess what happened tonight? Same time, same station. Okay. Mark picked page 334 out of the old school hymnal, To God the Only Wise. And Rosette picked Psalm 22F, page 30, out of the Psalter. And then what usually happens is Larry comes back and picks another one out of the old school hymnal, usually. So we all have our traditions, and that's okay, as long as they don't go against the Bible. Now, there's some traditions we don't want to hold on to, right? I hope you're not still kissing people under the mistletoe Christmas time. Okay, 334. I'm in kind of a crazy mood tonight, so if I seem a little crazy, it's just, you know, it's just the mood I'm in, okay? I had a really interesting call tonight, or today, from a lady from Houston, Texas, and she's been listening to the sermons on Sermon Audio, and she's had a lot of the same experiences that Rosette and I and Mark have had in these churches. Mark, do you want to start that?
Yeah. Page
334. You picked it.
Yeah. To God the only wise, our Savior and our King, let all the saints below the skies their humble praises bring. His almighty love, his counsel and his care preserves us safe from sin and death and every hurtful snare. He will present his saints unblemished and complete before the glory of his face with joy divinely great. Then all the chosen race shall meet around the throne, shall bless the conduct of his grace and make his wonders known. To our Redeemer God, wisdom.
Hold on a second. I lost the signal there. Let's just start where we left off. Go ahead, Mark.
My God, oh, why have you in my distress forsaken me? Oh, why so far from giving help and from my agonizing plea? All day, my God, I cry in vain. By night, yet no relief I gain. But still you are the Holy One. In Israel's praise you dwelling have. Our fathers put their trust in you. They trusted and you rescue gave. To you they cried, deliverance came. They trusted and were free from shame. Reproached of men, my all despised. A worm and not a man am I. All they that see me laugh in scorn. They shake their heads and touting cry. He trusts the Lord, let him defend and save him if he is his friend. You took me safely from the wood, gave faith on my mother's breast. From us dependent on your care, you are my God and you I rest. Be not far off, for grief is nigh, there's none on whom I can rely.
Of course, that's a messianic prophecy of the crucifixion of Christ, when he was abandoned by all of his creation, including his own disciples. And so he... He was even his father turned his back on him because his father could not look upon sin. And Christ took all of his elect's people's sin upon himself. So obviously, he paid the ransom for us by doing that tremendous act of love on the cross. Well, the last one we're going to sing tonight is 377. I was talking to someone recently, and the person made a statement how that they felt like that possibly God was getting ready to call them home a lot earlier than they thought that they might be called home. Sometimes God's purposes are beyond our understanding. Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, if we're one of His. But we still have friends and loved ones here. And so there is a loss, especially on the part of those that are left behind. But they will soon join us. And this is entitled, My Latest Son is Sinking Fast. Mark, you want to?
Yeah.
My latest son is sinking fast. My race is nearly run. My strongest trials now are past. My triumph is begun. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. I know I'm near the holy ranks of friends and kindred dear. I brush the dew on Jordan's banks, the crossing must be near. I've almost gained my heavenly home, my spirit loudly sings. The holy ones, behold, they come, I hear the noise of wings. Oh, bear my longing heart to Him who bled and died for me, whose blood now cleanses from all sin and gives me victory. Oh, come, angel band, come and around me stand. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Oh, bear me away on your snowy wings to my immortal home. Well, tonight, I want to talk about something that has been on my mind. It's not a real easy subject to talk about. But there's a lot in the Bible that Christ deals with on the subject, as well as the Apostle Paul. And numerous other writers, even in the Old Testament. And what I want to talk about tonight is the aspect of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Now, we know that if we are truly one of God's elect, that we have been forgiven for all of our iniquities. There are numerous passages in the Bible, and I could point you to those, where it says that He's forgiven all of our trespasses, never to be held against us. He's cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. And many, many passages that talk about the fact that the aspect of the atonement brought about forgiveness of sins. And then there's also the exhortation for God's people that if He has forgiven us, we should forgive those who trespass against us. And we find that, of course, in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts or our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Now, I've got a question for everybody that hears this. Have you ever had a situation where you have offended a brother or sister and you were convicted about it? The Holy Spirit prompted you that what you did was wrong. And so you've gone back to that brother or sister and you've said, you know, I owe you an apology. And I know that you were, I said something that offended you, and I would like to apologize and ask for your forgiveness. Now, I've had that happen numerous times. I don't like the fact that I am, a great offender. But I do like the fact that God, in His mercy, has granted me repentance to where He makes me willing to go back and ask for forgiveness for offending others. Now, I've had numerous responses when I've done that. Some have been very gracious, said, don't even think about it, don't even consider it, you're forgiven, don't worry about it. And I've had other responses by some people. I recently had that situation with one person, and the person didn't even acknowledge that I apologized. You know, they didn't even acknowledge that I apologized. And the feeling that I get is they have not forgiven me even to this day. They're still holding a grudge of some things that I said. And now, what should my response be to that person? The same response that that person should be given to me. I should not hold it against them. And I should just go on and realize that we all get in the flesh, and only God can grant to us repentance. Only God can cause us to turn. There's a scripture that says, turn us and we will be turned. Repentance, faith, belief, conversion, all of that comes from God Himself. It doesn't come from something with inside the creature. And so, let's just remember that when we are offended by others, just remember what Christ, what His response was. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, is what He said. A lot of times we do things in stupidity and ignorance. A lot of times other people do things to us in stupidity and ignorance. You know? And sometimes we are impulsive in our responses to people. I saw a post today on Facebook. I'm not gonna go into the details of it. It's a person I've known for a very long time. Let me put it this way, a person that I've been acquainted with for a very long time. I really don't know the person that well, but I've been acquainted with the person. I know who that person is. But he posted something on Facebook today, and my response, my immediate thought was to jump on there and make a comment. And then I got to thinking, now what good would a comment like that do in furthering any kind of potential relationship with this person? Okay? Facebook has caused more enemies than friends. We think we have all these friends on Facebook, right? But I would be willing to venture that there's been more enemies created on Facebook than friends. Okay? Because people say things on the spur of the moment that's hurtful to other people. And I've been as guilty as anyone else doing it. And a lot of times we do it with good motives and good intentions. We want to uphold doctrine. We want to be a stalwart defender of the faith, and so on. I did a message one time on sermon audio entitled Motives. What are our motives? You know, and sometimes we can have, excuse the expression, motives as pure as the driven snow. Okay. But once we've executed our intentions, we find out that the snow becomes not as white as snow, but as black as coal. That's the response sometimes by people to us. You know, there's not a song that says, blacker than coal, blacker than coal. Wash me and I will be blacker than coal. But sometimes our motives seemingly bring about that result, that it causes persons to lash out and to, be vindictive. And Scripture tells us that all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You know, have you ever had a situation where you're in a relationship with someone or in a past relationship with someone where you're absolutely certain that that relationship will never, ever be reconciled? You'll never have a reconciliation in the relationship. I know I have a number of people in my life like that I don't ever see that there will be a reconciliation for a lot of different reasons. You know, and it might be guilt on both people's part. It may be guilt on one person's part. It may be one person trying to stand for the truth and the other person not wanting to hear it, or vice versa. But a lot is said in the Bible about not biting and devouring one another. And he's not talking about eating somebody and being a cannibal. That's not what he's talking about. You're not going to go up and bite somebody's ear off or something like that. He's talking about coming against someone when you know you're right and you know they're wrong, and you're going to show how right you are and how wrong they are. And I'm speaking to myself regarding this. I've been as guilty as anyone else. And only God, like I said, can grant us repentance in these situations. I remember hearing about a situation where a person was going with a young lady, and they started dating and they fell in love, and this person, you know, just thought the world of this lady and asked her to be his wife. And he bought her a very expensive ring, over $7,000 ring. And he had been married before, and he had a 16-year-old son. And he found out that this woman that he thought was so in love with him was having a sexual relationship with his 16-year-old son. And then he found out that she was pregnant. And he didn't know if the baby was his or the baby was his son's. And so they did all the testing and they found out the baby was in fact his son's. Can you imagine this man, how violated he must have felt for this woman to not only take advantage of him, but also to take advantage of his son. And now he's the grandfather of the product of that evil deed that this lady participated in. Sometimes when people are involved in grievous sins, it causes tremendous, tremendous pain. I had a situation, I'm not going to mention any names or any details of it, where in my young life, someone very close to me got into a extramarital relationship with a man and became pregnant, and the church hid and concealed and paid for her abortion. Okay. When we see these kind of things going on, we have to scratch our heads sometimes and say, why does God allow these things to happen? We think of a person in the Bible that is depicted as a man after God's own heart, but yet he grievously violated the laws of God, committed adultery, and then committed premeditated murder against the one he had committed adultery against. Think about it. And as a result of that, the pregnancy of Bathsheba ended up, God's judgment was to take the child of that pregnancy. The amazing thing is, God later showed mercy on the other son, Solomon, didn't he? It's hard to understand these things. But what I want to convey tonight is that we are to forgive 490 times. Not one time past 490. When we get to 491, we don't have to forgive anymore. Because he's just said 70 times 7. Is that right? That's what a lot of people said. Oh, see, he said 70 times 7, so 70 times 7 is 490. And so when it gets to 491, I don't have to forgive anymore. No. The idea there was to forgive and keep on forgiving. And I believe that anyone who's married a long time at least learns how to forgive, hopefully, in that relationship and marriage, or they wouldn't still be probably be married. And so there's a pattern for us to look at in relationships with other people, not just our spouses. Christ didn't look down through the portals of time and say, well, that guy's a pretty good guy. He hasn't sinned that as much as some of the rest of the people. And so because he hasn't, I'm going to, and I know he's going to choose me. And so because I know he's going to choose me, I'm going to let him let me into his heart. Think about it. No. Unconditional election means there's no strings attached to it. Unmerited favor means we can do nothing to earn the favor of God. Not by works of righteousness that we have done, but because of his own mercy and grace he saved us. The foundation of God stand is sure, he knows who are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And as many as were ordained to eternal life will believe. And all the Father hath given me will come to me. And all that come to me I will in no wise cast out. And nothing can separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now to you who is able to keep you from falling and present you spotless. Isn't that what it tells us? So tonight, let us think on these things and let us be quick to forgive a brother or sister in Christ who has offended us or sinned against us. And God will grant us peace and joy when we do so. Do we have a final selection?
212.
What's that?
212.
212. Mark, yeah. Do you want to lead that for us?
Yes.
Weak and worthless though I have a rich almighty friend. Jesus the Savior is his name. He freely loves and without end. He ransomed me from hell with blood. And by his power my foes controlled. He found me wandering far from God and brought me to his chosen fold. He cheers my heart, my want supplies, and says that I shall shortly be enthroned with him above the skies. Oh, what a friend is Christ to me.
You know, I love that song right down underneath that. Let's sing that one too. I like that song. Oh, for a breeze of heavenly love.
Okay. Oh, for a breeze of heavenly love. To waft my soul away to that celestial world above, where pleasures ne'er decay, eternal spirit deign to be my pilot here below. To steer through life's tempestuous sea, where stormy winds do blow, I need the influence of thy grace to speed me on my way, lest I should loiter in my race or turn my feet astray. Are not thy mercies sovereign still, and thou a faithful God? Wilt thou not grant me warmer zeal to run the heavenly road from rocks of pride on either hand, from quicksands of despair? Oh, guide me safe on Canaan's land, through every latent snare. Anchor me in that port above, on that celestial shore, where dashing billows never move, where tempests never roar.
Well, I hope that you have a blessed week. And we'll look forward to probably seeing you on Saturday evening for our fellowship service at that time. And we will be doing our devotionals every morning and hopefully Servant Audio have gotten. Now, they seem to have the glitches fixed this morning. So with that, have a great evening.